This is the Boop Show. Some gaming news you can use for October 26th, 2014. I am Scoot Johnson. Well, hello there. This is Scott Johnson, and this is the Boop Show. And call me crazy, but I feel like I am a big dummy. Now, you may be saying to yourself, well, Scott, this is something we already were aware of. You don't have to pretend. On our account, we already are aware. Civ games, civilization games, Sid Meier civilization games in particular, they make me feel like a big dummy. And the reason is, I do okay. Okay, I do what I gotta do. I survive, I thrive, I make good decisions. But I always seem to be at a certain place during the way or during the progress of those games. I don't know how many turns in. Let's say 20, 30 turns in. I hit a point where I'm like, I don't know what to do next. And I start to rely too much on, especially since Civ 5 or Civ Rev for that matter, where you got a lot of suggestions. You know, lady come on and go, we believe you should buy one of these. And they start putting their little icons next to what they think will be the best move for me, either militarily or, to be able to. What's the other ways you can win in the 4X? You got your military. You're working with the other nations and stuff. That's what's diplomacy. There's the word I meant. And your other two. And I get to about that far and I go, I don't know. Just tell me which. Which movie would you like to see? Kind of thing. Like that movie phone episode of Seinfeld. And I start kind of letting them... It's bothersome because I don't feel like I should let the game determine so much. I mean, it's all me. It's on me to do that or not do that. But I let the game take over and tell me what it thinks I should be doing. And I'm doing that with Beyond Earth. Gosh dang it. Piece of garbage. I like the game a lot, by the way. And the criticisms that it's basically Civ 5 with a skin on it is pretty fair. I mean, I like it, and I think it's good and all that, but it's fair to say, at least this version, you know, minus whatever future expansions they do, it is not doing a ton to differentiate itself from those games or from that game out of the gate. At least with the systems and stuff. I mean, it really is. They stuck with what they knew. And maybe that's why this feels like we got it so quickly. Although, who knows? I don't know how long they've been working on this. Maybe it's been since 2010 when that other game launched. But that's not my impression. My impression is they took the solid underpinnings of the game already in place of the game type and just, you know, made it a nice, pretty sim deal. Space sim deal. That's what I meant to say. There's no Sims in it. Thank goodness. No green polygonal diamonds over anyone's head in this thing. Anyway, I don't know. I don't know what to say about it except that I'm going to keep at it. I really do. I just love those games. They suck me in. I just get to a point where it's like, yeah, take the wheel, Jesus. Take the wheel. Or Jesus, take the wheel. How's that go? It's an old country song. It's not even that old. Imagine the shock on my face, though, when I heard this news. And then we'll get to the real news, okay? Just sit tight. Heard yesterday that League of Legends makes 21%, a whopping 21%, a leading percentage of all the MMO money that there is in MMO games. Now, you'd think to yourself, well, hey, Scott there, you know, I don't consider League of Legends an MMO. Well, the data is being collected as such. They're being compared to all these other games that take your, you know, free-to-play money or whatever, and they put it up against games like Hearthstone and WoW and all the other true MMOs, but also other stuff like Dota and whatever. 21% of all money made in that market. League of freaking Legends, man. Holy shite. That is crazy money. 10th on the list. Everybody's been talking about what a darling Hearthstone is. Number 10. 10th down. I mean, it's still good. Don't get me wrong. And that will grow. But I think League's got this locked up. I mean, if you're going to put it in that category, I mean, what do you even do? How can you even stand yourself? Oh, All right, let's get into the news for the week, for the day. It's a day. It's a, not a week. We do two of these a week, so it's just for today. It's for Monday. Titanfall 2 is confirmed for the PS4 for 2016. Ooh. Well, that is exciting news, isn't it? For those who were hoping it was going to be a Microsoft exclusive, you were wrong. It is not a Microsoft exclusive no more. And Sony's doing so strongly in the console market as compared to the Xbox One, it would be really dumb for Respawn Studios not to put this thing out there as well. And who is it? Was it Activision? Yeah. No. EA? Hold on. Now I forget who's doing it. It is EA, isn't it? Anyway, how dumb would they be not to put it on the leading platform or as many platforms as possible? That's where I always vote is, hey, get it on everything. Let's get the most players humanly possible playing your freaking game. Yeah, watch for that. There is no, obviously no dates or any of this stuff yet, but there is a source, a reliable source, saying that Electronic Arts is solely owning the rights to do whatever they want with the sequel. So we kind of knew this though, didn't we? I feel like this isn't really news. It's just confirmed. So Sony fans, and if you like the look of Titanfall and you want whatever the sequel is, and my guess is it'll be a better game, a more fleshed out game. They often are the second one in sequel release cycles. You have something to be excited about. Grand Theft Auto San Andreas HD is now available for the Xbox 360. Rockstar has recently revealed a port of an open world game simulator, crime simulator, I would call it. Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, the one I couldn't finish. I just found it too mean. It was mean, that game. It's hard to explain. And it put me off ever getting 5. I'm just not a, I'm not big on games that feel mean to me. I don't mind gritty crime drama stuff, but San Andreas, I don't know, there was a mean streak about it. Vice City, on the other hand, amazing game. My favorite of the entire series, and still is, and probably always will be. Anyway, enough about my opinion. This game is 2.5 gigabytes. That's how much disk space you'll need. You'll need $3.74, and you'll get to play that game, which is one of the bigger versions, well, one of the largest worlds in the series. Tons to do, and for under $4, how do you beat that? NHL 2K is now available on iOS and Android for real. Remember, okay, so they reached up to the precipice, and they went, hey, we're going to be out, and then the next day it went, oh, no, we're not. We're not out yet. We're not ready. They backed up. Well, for $8, you can get your career, your 3-on-3 mini rink, your turn-based shootout, your NHL Winter Classic, and your free skate modes, as well as live roster updates. Now, I thought this was going to be free to play. Maybe that's what changed. But we've not had a 2K hockey game since NHL 2K11. That was on the Wii and iOS at the time. I think they, I can't remember. When's the last time I got a console one that wasn't a Wii? Not that that doesn't count, but, you know, I'm very curious. Man, whatever. NHL 2K, well, the NHL series of hockey games were pretty dang good. I think EA still had kind of the edge on that, but it was nice that somebody else was making it and kind of had some competition in that space. They still don't have a console version. This is just straight up mobile. So if you weren't looking forward to that, I do not know what to tell you.
Yeah, this is for the book show, and this this message isn't for Scott. It's for Old Man Johnson. Us whippersnappers can't say verse or bros. Then why is it okay to say PlayStation PS4 instead of PlayStation 4? Yeah, I'm going to get off your lawn now. See ya.
Because bros, all right, let me just lay this out one last time. Because bros, B-R-O-S period, or brothers as I would correctly call it, is a shortening of the brothers. And the B-R-O-S period is just a shortening of that. PS4 is not. PS4 is an initialism. Some would say an acronym, but it's not. Technically, it's an initialism, which stands for first letter P for PlayStation, second letter S for station, so play and then station, and then 4 for the revision. PS3, PS4, They also put that on like most of their, like their big logo for it is a PS4. That's what they called it. Nintendo called it Brothers, and you decided to call it Bros. Now, if they took the period away, you'd have an argument, but they haven't. It's always been there. Why? Because it's the shortening of Bros. Nobody goes, hand me file no 5. You say number because NO period is a shortening for number. You guys know I'm right about this. You keep giving me heat, but you know I'm right. Slender, The Arrival, stocks ratings on PS4, Xbox One, and Wii U, according to Joystick. Slenderman. It's actually just called Slender, The Arrival. Didn't they have to change that because they couldn't say Slenderman because that was a somebody owns the intellectual property rights for that or something? I forget what the deal was there. The ratings range from, October 23rd and 24th, which just happened. That seems wrong. Was supposed to be the date you'd see this. At least these ratings, the content ratings. But you can get into The Arrival's Creepy Woods on PS3, Xbox 360, PC. That stands for personal computer, by the way. Not PIC. Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. But we propose joining our cowardly sanctuary under the bed, they say in this article. Anyway, whatever that means. So if you want to play those that game, it's coming out soon, and we'll know soon what's going on there. Peggy, I'm guessing Peggy, because you know they have that Peggy thing. It's probably Peggy 12 and up. Let's see if that's been confirmed as of now. Oh, there it is. Yep, 12 and up. That's the grade to Slender. Watch for it. Be there. Be ready or something.
Hey, Scott. Quick question for you. I'm really busy all the time, but I love to play video games. So I was wondering if you have this problem, and if so, when do you set aside time to play? Just curious. Love the show. Boop.
Boop. Thank you very much for that question, and I have a hard time sometimes doing that, but you got to make time, man. This is the thing you love, plus I got to do it I actually have work reasons. I can't talk. Work reasons to play video games like this show and others. So for me, I kind of have to and want to, and we'll make time. Sometimes it's late at night. Sometimes it's, you know, just when there's some downtime, it's with the kids. It's, you know, when it makes sense. But there's always time. I don't have a ton of time. I can't just sit down and play like 80 hour games nonstop like some people can. I can't do that. But to plop me in front of a TV for 2 hours on a weekend, I can do that. You can do that. We can all do that. Sony has set up season passes for Video Unlimited and the PlayStation Store. They've introduced a new feature for the PlayStation. And this is kind of cool. Lets users buy full seasons of featured content, and they can do it at a discount. So if you want to get, I don't know, your favorite show, like, what's your favorite show? I don't know. What do you like there? You like your Big Bang Theory, let's say? Ugh. Anyway, the purchase is available through the PlayStation 3 and the PlayStation Store on PlayStation 4, Bravia TVs, and Blu-ray players coming soon. So this is only supported on PS3 right now. Those other platforms will work soon. And they got discounts on popular series, including The Walking Dead. So you like your Walking Dead? The launch deals go into effect on the 30th, which is a couple days from now, and extends through the 17th of November in this year. So very exciting. PS4 update rolling out this week with USB music player, SharePlay, all that stuff. This is their version 2.0 of the update. It'll happen on the 28th. That's 2 days from now. They announced it via Twitter. They're calling it Matsune is the name of the update. It adds the ability to play music from a USB stick connected through the console if you want to do that. And we'll have some game broadcast tools, some additional stuff for Twitch. And you can now archive sessions of your gaming time via Twitch, specific games being broadcast. They got new themes, so you can spice up your little homepagey thingy there. And one of the interesting bits is SharePlay. This is the pass-the-controller style cooperative multiplayer sharing mode. They talked about it at Gamescom 2014 in August. I think we talked about it on this show. Maybe it was just before this show. May have been Final Score. Anyway, it's only limited to the one-hour increments, and it will work with all PS4 games. This allows PS Plus members to let a friend take over a game, and the latter does not, that person does not have to own that game via PSN, but you only get to play it for an hour. And there's some filtery stuff. I don't know. I still don't know how I feel about that. That thing's weird. It's weirdly limited. And I don't know how I feel about it. I guess we'll find out, right? Let's find out with, let's find out together. Hey, you want to be my 1 hour buddy? All right.
Hey, this is for the Boop Show. Hey, Scott. Loving the Boop Show, even without the boobs and poop. You were talking last time about your favorite gaming experience or gaming memory, and mine goes all the way back to when I first started gaming, playing things like Shadowgate and Uninvited and Deja Vu on the Mac Plus. And then when I started playing Myst, it just blew me away. And I think the big part of it was just immersion, feeling like I'm a part of this world. And I'm thinking that something like Oculus Rift, Project Morpheus, those are going to be just have the potential to take this to a new level. So my question is, are there any games out right now where you feel who's fully immersed, or do you think that there's some other technology or vision that you can see that would help take gaming to the next level of immersion? Thanks again, man.
As far as games that are out now that provide that kind of immersion, I haven't played one in a while. Let's put it that way. My first foray into World of Warcraft felt that way. That felt very immersive. First time I ever played Quake was like that. Super Mario 64 had that feeling for me. To some degree, Diablo 3 and the Reaper Souls content put me there again. Because the old Diablo used to really get me going. Like, really just put me in this place. And the new game really did that with this expansion for me. Yeah, it's hard to say. I do feel like at some point, if we're seasoned gamers, we're kind of used to all the tricks that put us in a game and make us feel like we're part of that world, and they've got to come up with new tricks to take us somewhere else. And I'll bet you Oculus or VR tech in general will end up being that thing. So I think what you say is probably true, that that's where we're going to get it next. Assassin's Creed Unity shows off sneaking, sweeping PC specs. Good Lord. Have you seen these PC specs? Here are the Ubisoft released requirements, and you're not going to like it. 64-bit operating system. That is absolutely has to be there. 6 gigabytes of RAM. Minimum. They're saying 8 recommended. I'm still double that, so I guess I'm okay. 50 gig of hard drive space. 50 gigs from space for multiplayer. Or sorry, four. And if you want 50, multiplayer, sorry, 256 kbps or faster broadband connection. Again, a lot of us have these specs. I don't feel like this is super wide-ranging, though. I feel like they are locking out a huge portion of PC players. The game will run at 30 frames per second on PS4 and Xbox One. They are saying there's no real advantage of running at 60 frames per second, and I guess that will not be part of the PC version either. This is what the senior producer said, a weird quote. He said this, Vincent Pontbriand, I think is how you say his name. Quote, we could be running at 100 frames per second if it was just graphics, but because of AI, we are still limited to 30. So whatever's going on with the AI in the backseat of this thing, it better be awesome, because that's all they keep telling us. Oh, all these restrictions is because of AI. Okay, well, that AI better be amazing, and I better quit doing Russian accents. NBA Live 15, that's the new one. That six-hour trial is now available. Remember this whole EA Access trial deal? You can check out the Xbox One's version of EA's NBA Live 15. Hopefully it's good. Because remember the last one's bad, real bad. Anyway, hits retail via the EA Access subscription service and has this limited time thing. We've talked about this before. In fact, early in the show, we talked a lot about the time you get to spend with it. At the time, I want to say it was 6 hours. Did that change? Might have changed. You get a 10% discount if you buy it during that time, which seems all right. The actual release date is the 28th of this month. Again, a couple of days in North America. And in Europe, October 31st. Do those guys even care about American basketball? Do you give a crap? Well, do you?
Hey, Scott. Good question for you.
I already heard from you. What's going on? What are you doing?
Hey, Scott. Love the show. Where do you fall on the are games art debate? And assuming that you fall into the camp of games are art, how would you go about illustrating that point to somebody who maybe has an antiquated view of games and basically denies that they're art? Thanks. Love the show.
Boop. It's a silly... I like when you guys say boop at the end, by the way. I love that. For real. I think that's great. I think anything can be art, and video games are anything, so why not? This argument seems so dumb to me that people are either opposed or for it. It just seems silly to me to think that there can't be art in video games. There's so much art in video games. Even if you're just looking at, like, the creation process and the art that went into it, it's like saying a Pixar movie isn't art. Well, of course it is, and it has a lot of art in it, and there's sort of sub-levels of art, more art. So, yeah. The big stink about it came when Roger Ebert, before he passed, had a thought that he thought video games could never be art, which I think was a silly thing for him to say. And it mostly just kicked up a lot of dirt. And it felt a little trolly, to be honest, because I think he probably knew that there was more to him than that. But also he had limited access to him and hadn't played a lot. So what is it? He didn't really know. Some of the most impactful experiences I've had were in a video game. Some of the dumbest, least art experiences I've had are in a video game. So I just think video games are just as susceptible as any other thing in this life to be either artistic or completely crap. It's just, and some will claim that some of the crap is artistic, and some of it is, and a lot of it's in the eye of the beholder, and some of it just straight up is artistic, whether you like it or not, because it just is. And it's just like anything else. I mean, I feel like we're just talking about anything else here. We got to quit pretending like video games are a special case. It's just another part of the human condition. It's what we do. It's just there. It lives by the same rules as everything else. So think about it that way. Layoffs hit WildStar's Carbine Studios. This makes me sad. I like when a strong MMO does well, and I thought this was maybe going to be it. Just to provide, you know, a nice bit of competition in the market, keeps WoW on their toes, keeps Blizzard strong, keeps them strong. I don't know. It's just good to have healthy companies in that space. And man, what a weird place that is. That whole MMO business is very weird. Here's their official statement. While decisions like this are always hard, they are necessary as we begin implementation of a new strategy designed to strengthen our footing as leader in global entertainment. Weird thing to say. Anyway, again, the decision to reduce staff was not an easy one, and we sincerely wish everyone well in their next endeavors, unquote. Tony Ray, he's the community manager, said they would soldier on. I want to say there were 19 people that were let go. That makes me sad. It's not a huge team, but there's some good stuff in that game. That game is pretty strong and a nice alternative if you're looking for something new. So I don't know. I'm sure these, you know, they're talented people. They get soaked up somewhere else, but you do not like to hear about people getting the boot. At least I don't.
Hey, Scott, this is Brandon. I was just calling to let you know I was playing World of Warcraft and saw that there's actual achievement called Boop. So as you can tell, this is for the Boop Show, and I didn't know if you knew about that. I figured you probably would, being a big World of Warcraft fan. But if not, it is under quests for Pandaria and, or Pandaria, however you want to pronounce it. Anyways, the achievement Boop is knock a Zandalari beast caller from his flying mouth. Didn't know if you knew that. So I let you know. Love your show. Keep it up. Can't get enough of them. Have a good one.
All right. Thanks, man. I just looked it up on Wowhead and you're right. That is what it is. This thing's old though. So there's no connection. I mean, not that there should be or that I would even assume that, but just so everyone knows, there's nothing in here that's suggested has anything to do with the game or with the show. However, if you look up GURPS Perfect Arrow, that is my World of Warcraft character or namesake, and they made that for me, which was really nice. They did that in Pandaria as well. And my instance co-host got items in there as well. So, yeah, I like that kind of stuff, and I like when they make nods to the community. However, this Boop one is definitely not one. I hate to say it, but it's true. Let us get to some additional emails. By the way, those phone calls have been coming to us the entire show to 801-471-0462. That's 801-471-0462. Or attachments and emails sent to us at boopshow@gmail.com. That's boopshow@gmail.com. Got an email from Spam Emails, the name. Literally, I'm not just saying it's spam because it's not, but came from somebody named Spam Email. So Scott, love the Boop Show, and thanks for all you do. I'm curious if you haven't ever had an experience with the Intellivision console. That was my introduction to gaming, and I have tons of fond memories playing Tron, Deadly Discs, Night Stalker, Triple Action, and Advanced Dungeons and Dragons. Keep up the good work. Spam Email. Well, Spam Email, if that is your real name. I have great memories. My friend Mark and I would play Intellivision till the wee hours, and what was the God game? Was it Utopia? There was a, I think it was called Utopia, where you kind of, it was like Populous, but before all of that stuff, this was like a big progenitor of like God games. Man, I love that game. But he had all the sports games, played a lot of hockey and baseball, football, and they all had that terrible whistle, like ref whistle. Like, here's my impression of Intellivision. There you go. That's pretty much how they all sounded. Another email from John Edinburgh. John Edinburgh says, I'm very pleased with the developer of the Stanley Parable and that they've sold so many units that there will be a sequel in the works. But it's not a game. In my opinion, it's just a guided narrative, much akin to those choose-your-own-adventure books that were all the rage in the 80s. Those weren't games either. I love Stanley, but the game involves more than just picking... Or say, the game involves more than picking a door to go through. Meaning a game, not this game. Boop. This is from John. John says, P.S. Yes, us Scots are still getting used to imperialist, monarchist, oppressive pounds of currency. Not that I'm bitter. All right. Yeah, that game, I agree. That's part of its charm, though. There are a lot of games, you could argue, though, are narrative-driven. I mean, you still had to look around, explore, make choices. What's the difference between that and Call of Duty's campaign? I mean... It's still a linear story in the end. What's the difference? I mean, I would argue there's more to Stanley Parable than that in terms of overall, like, taking you where it wants you to go. But is there any real difference? I think it's still a game, dude. I'm gonna disagree with you on that one.
Hey, Scott, Mario. Totally loving the Boop Show. You mentioned a favorite video game memories. I have two. One is the original Mario Brothers 3 that I will undoubtedly, somewhere in my 60s or 70s, my thumbs will just fall off from how much we played that. An apartment in high school, my senior year, and it was just, I mean, when we weren't in school, that was what we were doing. It was tons of fun.
Yeah, dude. Super Mario 3. Good stuff. Scrolling pirate level. Oh, brr. Another email from, let's see, this was from Tom, not Tom Merritt, he says, from Michigan, home of Faygo. Scott, I've heard you say some pretty crazy shit over the last 8 years, but telling that guy to start on Halo 3 and skip 1 and 2, sir, you have lost it. I think that brain tumor growing out of the back, what? Out of your back, that's weird to say it's a brain tumor, anyway, is affecting your head now. The gameplay of 1 and 2 are rock solid. Can you even imagine just starting Halo 3 with Master Chief falling to the earth and having any understanding of what's happening? Dude, that's what I said last week. Play that one. Play those for the story, but don't think you're going to get the best gameplay out of them. That's all I said. They refined it in 3. 1 is super repetitive. Everything looked the same everywhere you went. Freaking walk into the building, it all looks the same. What hallway have we been down? I don't know. That one looks like the last one I was in. Who knows? What the hell are we doing? I don't know. What are you doing? I don't know. It's like that. 2, a little bit better. 3, that's where they hit their stride. But if you want the story and stuff, yes, start with 1, work through that, work through 2, and then let 3 take you in. Okay? All right. Final email from Jim in South Carolina. Jim says this. Hey, Scott, just wanted to make one last point on this crazy bros talk. Yeah, I know, it is crazy. Way back in the arcade days, Mario Brothers made its first foray into gaming. The cabinet and screen title said Mario Bros. Dot, period, at the end. Nobody ever called it Bros. That's right, they didn't. They called it Brothers. Same thing when Mario games came out on the NES. The cartridge and the title splash screen said Super Mario Bros. Dot. Or, again, Brothers. And nobody called it Bros. That's right. Nobody ever said, hey, you playing Super Mario Bros.? No, you didn't. You said, are you playing Super Mario Brothers? Because we knew it and understood it. It wasn't hard. We had it figured out. He goes on to say, kids have no respect for history. Love the show, though, Jim. Well, thanks, Jim. I'm with you, man. Jim and I. Jim and I, we agree. Time to get out of here. Thank you everybody for joining us. Frogpants.com/boop. And hang around. I got some music for you. Don't go anywhere. Don't leave. Don't just walk out of here. So then get up in the middle of my thing. Come on, man. Sit down. Sit down. Boopshow@gmail.com is our email address. I say frogpants.com/boop. I meant to. Boop. On Twitter, boopshow is where you can find the show there. You can also find me at Scott Johnson. It's good to follow both, I think. And I give stuff away there, so I recommend it. Support the show by contributing to our Patreon, if you might. Over at patreon.com/frogpants. A little bit over there goes a long way to help out shows like The Boop Show and others. You can call us 801-471-0462. Leave us a message. We'll play it on the show. Keep it short and interesting. You've heard examples of that on this very episode. Happy to play them right here. You can find streaming repeats of this at alphageekradio.com. Our music is by the Schnauzer Radio Orchestra. And as always, and not always, but sometimes I like to leave you with a little bit of music. I'm a big fan of OC Remix. I went there again and I found something I liked. Some of it is a little weird, but whatever. It's all good. Zelda 2. This is from the Zelda, I guess the second Zelda game. It is Zelda's First Trip to the Village is the name of this track. It is available on OC Remix. You can go to ocremix.org and find it. And you can search for Zelda's First Trip to the Village and you'll find it if you want to get it. I'll play it now. We'll be back next week. I keep saying that. We'll be back on Thursday, all right? I do a show on Thursday. Mondays and Thursdays. Another episode, another edition of The Boop Show. Thank you all for being here. Go play some damn video games, and we'll see you then.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.